What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, from below, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Just Guess Oops with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the Eason Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to have Nick Lawrenson aboard. He's joining me as he's just departing Arizona. He was in town for the NCAA Tournament's Final Four and National Title Game. As a matter of fact, we chatted with him just after that title game, so we'll tie a little bit of a bow around what we did see out there in Arizona, some of the characteristics of these teams that have been able to rise up, and just how UConn has been able to rise to the top. But we're also going to take a little bit of a look forward, take a look at some of these teams that very early on have been able to have some success in the transfer portal, have made a nice hire or two, get his thoughts, no doubt, on John Calipari heading on over to Arkansas, where Kentucky goes from here. And then in the final segment, I'm going to get you guys just what we saw in college basketball on Tuesday as well. We are now in full-fledged offseason mode. Now it's just all about taking a look at these coaching hires, taking a look at these guys moving around in the transfer portal, and trying to give you guys my thoughts there as we work on previewing every single conference and every single team here on the podcast. We will be doing that the next 200 or so days going into the upcoming college basketball season. So there is absolutely no shortage whatsoever of things to be able to dive in on, and it is going to be very, very much a long off season. But as I always say, bets that are won during the season, they are won through great preparation, and they are won through just putting in the work here in the off season. And I'm going to touch upon that a little bit here in segment number one, just how I'm going to be going about things here in the off season. Like I said on the podcast yesterday, you're going to have a podcast every single day here on Coast to Coast Hoops. I'm not going to be taking any days off. We're going to have a lot of conversations. We're going to have a lot of conference previews. So we've got you all covered there. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at @Jaden_41. Keep in mind, letters M, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. Then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get into many Twitter/X questions. Many of you guys are still buzzing about what we all saw in the national title game and the dominance of UConn this season. So rightfully so there. So feel free to fire in a question at any time, whether that be today, whether that be tomorrow. Hey, if something comes up a month and a half from now, more than happy to just dissect it in general. It can be on the general offseason. The one thing that I really won't do is be like, oh, Team X got in, like, guy that was averaging 3 points per game. Your thoughts, because those will be in the final segment as well, because I just recap all the moves that we see in the transfer portal, all these coaching moves as well. So, I mean, it'll all be there. So those questions, they will be answered at the final segment pretty much daily, but that said, when just preparing for the upcoming college basketball season, I think the best way to go about this, and I've used this analogy in off seasons in the past, and I'm going to use it again. Treat this like a long-term research project that you would in college. I am about 10 years removed from going to UW Oshkosh, the greatest university of all time. I say that very, very, very biasly, and I'm probably one of the few people that say that, but hail Titans for UW Oshkosh. But that said, when I was in college, when I put things off until the last minute, things didn't necessarily go well. There might be a few people listening that agree, there might be some that disagree, some that are of indifference. If you didn't go to college, high school, if you didn't go to high school, middle school, if you didn't go to middle school, well, I really don't know what to tell you there, but that said, I do think that treating it like a long-term paper is the best way to go about it, and by a long-term paper, you don't want to be putting it off until the last minute, but at the same time, you don't try to complete it within 15 minutes as well. You're going to miss something if you try to do it that way as well. Like, I take a look at us having nearly 200 days here in the off season. It's just little by little, putting in just a little bit of work every single day for me works. And hey, you don't need to dive into all 362 D1 teams yourself, because I'll have you covered with a conference preview every single day. And if you're just out there listening, don't feel like you need to take a look at the college basketball transfer portal for 5 hours a day every single day. That'll be a defeatist effort. You're going to get paralysis by analysis as well. I do think that that is very important to do. Have a little bit of sanity. Many of you, you handicap other sports, whether that be the NBA leading into the playoffs. I personally am a baseball guy, because when college basketball ends, baseball begins. When baseball ends, college basketball begins. It is perfect for me, but if you're handicapping a different sport, you handicap that different sport day in and day out, and then at the end of the day, you spend a few minutes looking to see, all right, Matthew Nicholson and Ty Berry, they're going to be returning to Northwestern on their COVID year. Good for Northwestern, and that's a big part of it as well. We're going to be buzzing about these guys that they enter into the transfer portal, and I'll certainly give these schools a lot of love when the time comes to do conference previews as well. Take a look at the teams that aren't losing anything. I think that that is so important. Like, UConn really didn't lose much via the transfer portal. They did lose Andre 3000 Jackson, along with Mohamed Sanogo, who made things a go-go from last college basketball season because they just turned pro, but there weren't a lot of guys that were transferring out. Like with Northwestern, being able to maintain Matthew Nicholson along Ty Berry, a pair of guys that were pretty solid for them. Ty Berry, before getting injured and missing the back half of the season, 11.5 points per game, was a 40-plus percent three-point shooter. Matthew Nicholson, one of their better rebounders, wasn't like a super duper impact guy, but at 7 feet tall, gave out nearly 2 assists, 5.5 points, 4.5 boards. I mean, that's a pretty big deal for Northwestern. Them being able to maintain those guys tells you that they've got a good thing going there. There are guys that do want to play for Chris Collins. That's something that you do like to see, and I was alluding to this when we were talking to Kobe Dant on the podcast yesterday. It does feel like the best schools, they sort of have a little bit of a mix. You want to have a school that maybe is bringing in that, like, number three, number four score in the transfer portal to accent what they're really doing. Like, for Purdue, they were able to make the national title game this season. They added in one nice piece in Lance Jones. For UConn, the one piece that they really added from the transfer portal for this year, because Tristan Newney had come over a few seasons prior. This was season number two for him at UConn, but they had a Cam Spencer. He turned out to be a nice number, I would call it 1A score, him and Tristan Newton, but he was exactly what they needed. Shot it very well from three, solid defender. He was able to do a little bit of everything out there in the backcourt, but it's not like they made wholesale changes. I think that that is something that you want to be doing as well, and just sticking in that little bit of research every single day, like a research paper, I think that that is very big as well, because when you just keep your mind fresh, when you keep your head in the game, I think that that's so big. You don't want to be showing up 3 days before the start of the college basketball season being like, yep, I did absolutely nothing. Let's try to see what we've all got with this year's Stephen F. Austin team or something like that. That's not the way to go about it. And at the same time, you don't need to be just tirelessly looking at college basketball all day long as well. It is a very, very long offseason. Keep yourself a little bit fresh air. Leave a lot of the work to me and do a little bit on your own time as well. And just stick with what works as well. Like, if you don't do a lot of college basketball handicapping to start with, there's no need to dive in on all 362 D1 teams. If you've had a lot of success, for example, you're living out there in the Midwest, you're able to follow a lot of people that cover the MAC with 1A, not the one with 2As. And you decide, hey, I had a lot of success betting on, like, the Toledo Rockets, being able to fade, insert your bad MAC team here. Maybe you do try to have a little bit more focus on a few specific conferences. I'm someone that I do all 362 D1 teams just because that's the way that I've just always operated. I, before doing actual sports betting was more of a bracketology guy myself, where I would get the same amount of points on my final bracket as to picking the correct 15 seed as I would the correct 1 seed. So the Southland, I had to spend as much time researching as the ACC. That's just the way that I operated personally, and that's a big reason why I do have sort of the style of taking a look at every single game every single day the way that I do, but everyone's a little bit different. Find what works for you, and that is the biggest thing that I can tell you. That goes for betting with regards to any sport, whether that be football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Do not let some meanie, just some troll on Twitter/X tell you, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, you're a moron for not doing this, for not doing that. If it works for you and you are profitable with it, don't let anyone else tell you a darn thing otherwise. And that, if you take nothing else away from this podcast ever, take that away. Because if you are making money and you are feeling good about the results, you are doing a good job. That's the best advice that I can give you. Like, there's nothing else I can tell you on this podcast that is better than the advice that I just gave you right there. I'm going to give you guys picks and analysis when the season comes back. I'm going to do everything humanly possible to take a look at the transfer portal. If you take away absolutely nothing else, though, just do your best. If you feel good about your results, you're doing a good job. And hey, if a lot of people think that you're doing a good job and you feel like you could do a little bit better, push yourself to do a little bit better as well. I mean, I feel like Matt Foley, Matt Motivational Speaker right now, but hey, I mean, it really is true because it's a long off season. It's going to be a lot of research. It's a lot of just trying to unearth information, and I'm going to do my level best to be able to give you guys everything humanly possible to make the 2024-25 season the most profitable ever, but we're going to be just sticking with it all throughout the offseason, so hopefully that was a nice little bit of a motivational pep talk. Again, like I said, I am here whenever you need me, whether you're listening like once a week, whether you're just tuning in for the conference previews. Hey, there are some of you that are sticking with me every single day, and I appreciate the heck out of it because it is a long offseason, but it's a fun offseason, and we're going to have a lot of great chats. We're going to have a lot of great insights along the way. So we are going to be starting that up next with Nick Lawrenson. He's joining me from out there in the great state of Arizona. We're going to tie a little bit of a bow around the 2023-24 season and start turning it forward to teams that we should be watching for in the 2024-25 season, looking at Arkansas hiring on John Calipari and so much more. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Music Family Podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With myself, Peggy Peterson, now part of the BC Family Podcast, and it is always great to be joined by this man, Mick Lawrenson. He does a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball over at Mid-Major Madness. He follows it all 12 months out of the year. So even though we saw the Nets get cut down on Monday night, he's going to be doing an amazing job all offseason long, the next 7 months, getting you all prepared for what we are going to be seeing here in the 2024-25 season. Almost weird to be saying that, but that's where we are at right now. To be able to follow Nick on Twitter / X, that is at N, the first letter of his first name, last name, Lorenzen, spelled L-O-R-E-N-S-E-N, sports all together. And Nick, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Always great to hop on here, Greg. Yeah, court side of the Final Four right now. Confetti all over the floor. I remember hopping on here in July, August, talking about CAA, talking about the prospects for Delaware and Towson heading into the season. Neither of them made the postseason, but we had the two best teams face off here Monday night at State Farm Stadium between UConn and Purdue. UConn, who's dominated all season, got to cut down the nets. Much deserved. First team since 2006, 07, went back-to-back national titles since Florida. So it was an awesome night, another awesome season. Super excited to look forward to this next 2024-25 season where, hey, hopefully we can get another mid-major in the Final Four. We didn't get one this year, but we got two last year. So let's hope we get back to that soon.
Absolutely. And we'll certainly be touching upon the mid-majors in a few minutes. But I mean, we have to start with the team that just won the national title for a second straight year and has won every single one of their NCAA tournament games the last 2 years by at least 13 points. Like, I mean, we could talk about the mid-majors. We could talk about every other team in college basketball, all that we'd like. But right now, UConn is the king of this sport. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the question becomes, can they maintain this for a third straight year? Because we know that they're going to be losing some guys like Cam Spencer and company. I have to figure that Donovan Klingon is probably going to be heading to the NBA, things like that. But we recall UConn losing a lot like Mohamed Sanogo and company last offseason, and they didn't just be able to maintain this season. I would argue they were better in the run that we saw in the 2023-24 season than when they won it as a four seed.
Yeah, Pete Thamel mentioned post-game UConn was up on the stage that no team has had a greater margin of victory in all their games in the NCAA tournament than this UConn team. It was 140 points. They dominated everyone. They won this game by 15 points, and it didn't even seem like it was that close. But, you know, last offseason, they lost a couple pieces. They went to the transfer portal. They got some freshmen. Cam Spencer came over from Rutgers, had 11 points in the national title. Stephon Castle, 15 points, freshman. He had a super impressive weekend here in Arizona. But they're going to be digging like everyone else these next couple of days, heading into the transfer portal, hoping to get some new pieces. You know, Coach Hurley mentioned as well post-game, he thinks this is the most impressive run maybe ever, two-year run maybe ever by a team in the NCAA tournament. When you look at it, you had Florida in 2006-07. They returned a lot. Duke in the 90s, they returned a lot. They both pretty much returned everyone. And this UConn team, they had to replace some really, really good players from last year's national championship team. And they made it look even easier this year and just ran the table, dominated everyone en route to their second straight national title, their sixth in program history. He's staying in stores, it sounds like, and it sounds like, or at least feels like, UConn will have a long, long future up at the top of this sport, just like back in the 90s, Ray Allen and such. Long overdue for this fan base. They've done it with new pieces this year. I expect them to do it the same next year. They're going to become the hunted for a very, very long time in the sport, in my opinion.
Yep, I absolutely do think so as well. And it's been so impressive what this team has done. I still remember like 5 to 6 years ago, they were a 500 team out there in the American Conference. Now here they are having one back-to-back title. So the rise of they and the Big East has been very awesome to see. As Nick Lawrence, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And certainly we're going to be buzzing about UConn, what they do in the offseason, as they have picked up a few guys in the transfer portal. And I do want to touch upon that as well, because I just look at the teams that have had success in this great sport the last few seasons, and I really feel like it's the teams that they do a nice job of mixing the two, being able to retain some of their own and being able to the transfer portal. These teams that are completely oblivious to the transfer portal, I feel like, are flying behind. Meanwhile, the Eric Musselman style that really only he's had success with, of just like trying to bring in like 8, 9 guys, have hockey style line changes in terms of from 1 year to the next, bringing in transfers. I feel like that hasn't worked out as well. I'm not sure you take a look at things, but I feel like the most effective coaches bring in like that 1 or 2 ancillary pieces, like this year with UConn bringing in Cam Spencer. That was great, but also returning a lot of the guys from the previous year as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have the correct mix of new faces, not just in the transfer portal, but with freshmen coming in. The best teams are ones with experience, those who've had players play together, and they had a solid core of these guys play together in the past. And the couple pieces they added over the offseason just really added in. Well, you have a team like Purdue as well, and that they faced the national title. Purdue pretty much returned everyone from last year. They brought in Lance Jones from Southern Illinois, who is one of the most important pieces for that team. It really comes down to the experience. But when you add these players, this is why Arkansas struggled this year, because it was a completely new team. None of the guys have played together. They don't have any sort of brotherhood or coalition, I guess you could say, heading into the season. And you have these UConns and these Purdues where you have the core and you have a leader returning and dudes that have played together. You have these new guys come in. They don't exactly become the number one leader, but they could become a really important piece to those teams. So I just don't think it's possible to win a national title with a team full of transfer pieces. What UConn did is the perfect model. You bring back a lot. You get one or two pieces in the transfer portal, bring in some very, very good freshmen, and you'll be set for the future.
Oh, no doubt about it. You are going to be in. We have to take a look at this as well, because it's going to be very interesting to see what this team does as well. We're going to be buzzing about it all offseason long. Arkansas, the fact that they hire on John Calipari as we are doing this podcast. We are unsure of what Kentucky is going to be doing moving forward. There's no question about it. There's going to be an extensive search, and Kentucky is going to get a good coach. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are a demanding fan base, but a passionate fan base with very, very deep pockets. They're going to get in a very nice coach. But how do you just take a look at the John Calipari to Arkansas situation? Because I do think that this is going to be causing for a lot of shakeups. And what happens at that power conference level, if you don't see someone like a Billy Donovan or something like that go to from the NBA back to college, I do think that it could cause a massive ripple effect in the coaching carousel that could transfer, that could translate all the way down to the low and mid-major level just because of this one-size move.
Yeah, I mentioned Billy Donovan. I think that would be the perfect hire for that
Kentucky program.
It would be perfect. Yeah, he's won at the highest level of college basketball. He's won at the NBA, and now he has all that NBA experience. But I don't blame Calipari one bit for leaving Kentucky. The fan base has got really fed up over the last couple of years. There's no one in the country like him that recruits like him. He's done an amazing job bringing in all these five stars, the one and duns. He's won a national title with it. He's had successful season after successful season. It's not easy to get 20 wins in college basketball, but this Kentucky fan base is just so spoiled. I think Arkansas could be really good. When you look at jobs in the SEC, Kentucky's probably number one, and then Arkansas's probably number two. Both of them have very, very strong fan bases, get good NIL. They're basketball-first schools. So I think it's an awesome move for both Cal and obviously for Arkansas. And Kentucky, it's going to be interesting to see what Kentucky does. Like you mentioned, Greg, I don't think they make a wrong hire just because everyone really wants that job. Billy Donovan would be an absolutely perfect hire. But outside of that, it's like, who knows? They could pretty much have whoever they want for the most part. You know, Danny Hurley wants to stay at UConn, but you look at top 10 teams in the country, there's a good chance maybe 60-70% of those head coaches out of the top 10 would want that job and would move to Kentucky in a heartbeat. Whatever happens, it's going to be awesome. We're getting this every year now. We had Cooley last year. You're going to have these guys in league, these coaches in league, you know, move to a new spot. And when Arkansas comes to Rupp Arena, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I don't know if there'll be a positive feedback or if they'll be booing him. I'm thinking it's going to be more positive, but it's going to be really, really fun to watch when those two teams face off in Lexington this year.
There will be no love lost between those schools as well. So I do think that that is going to be tremendous to take a look at. As Nick Lawrenson, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, is joining me on Couscous Hoops. And Nick, it's going to be a very long offseason where a lot of these schools, they're going to be looking to get to where UConn is at. And there's going to be a lot of movement in the transfer portal. We've already got north of 1,500 guys out there in the portal. But just from what you've seen this offseason, have there been a few teams that have already been able to catch your attention with what they've been able to do? And you like the way that they're trending, whether that be mid-majors, whether that be high majors. Are there any teams right now in the very early part of the offseason that have already put in some work that you're liking?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard at this point. We're still pretty early on. Not many teams have hopped in there. But I'd say Louisville, you know, obviously we mentioned it last week that Pat Kelsey's coming in. I think Pat Kelsey's a winner. He has Rain Smith coming in. He has James Scott coming in. You got Thad Edwards from East Madison coming in, and he's going to get more and more pieces. I think that they could be competing at the top of the ACC right away. That'll be really interesting. At Charlotte, Coach Fern's done a really, really good job in his first transfer portal cycle, picking up some big men. Giancarlo Rosato, who was the sixth man more for that FAU team the last 2 years, will be heading over there, and that's going to be a really, really strong presence in an American that's been a really good league over the last couple of years. Maryland, impressive with Jacoby Gillespie. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with maybe hopefully a Malik Mack, or I know they're going after a big man in the transfer portal, so that'll be really fun. But it's still so super early. It'll be tough to figure out who's won so far in the transfer portal. It's going to be going on for the next couple months. It's going to be nonstop with this transfer portal. We learned it last season, especially with West Virginia and all the turmoil that happened there. But every day, there'll be a fun story in college basketball because of it. And that's what makes the sport the best. You know, over the last couple years ago, we wouldn't have had anything like this. It would have just been a long off season. But now with the off season and the transfer portal happening, it's every day something could happen. You got to stay on your toes and follow what's happening in the world of college basketball.
Yep, a few off seasons ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this Coast to Coast Hoops podcast daily, and now I'm able to do so because when you got 362 D1 teams, when you've got north of 1,500 guys in the transfer portal, you're able to do this every single day, and no shortage of guys are currently in the portal. Like Aaron Bradshaw is a guy that might be heading into the portal. You might be considering his options for the NBA draft as well, but all those Kentucky guys are certainly worth noting. We've got a lot of guys from Georgia that entered in the transfer portal over the last few days. A guy in Jasper Flew, who I loved out there in the Metro Atlantic, he's a guy that's entered in as well. So we've got a lot of movement that's happening right now. As Nick Lawrenson, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, he is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And when it comes to some of those mid-majors that early on you're looking at and you're feeling good about, we've got a lot to decide. We've got a lot to decipher, and this is certainly going to be something that we're going to talk about a lot. I'm sure that you're going to be joining me for a lot of my conference previews here in the offseason, but are there a few mid-major programs, knowing very well that we could see some guys enter in the transfer portal, that you take a look at for next year, and you do think that they might be set up for a little bit of success just very early on?
Yeah, one that's super interesting to me is Boise State. You know, Boise hasn't won a game in the NCAA tournament the last couple of years, but they've made it every year. They're set to return their top three guys. They should be the favorite in the Mountain West. There's a chance they could be preseason top 25. Watch out for this Boise State team. That'll be a really, really fun bunch heading into next season. Duquesne could be really interesting, too. You know, they're going to lose a lot of pieces, but if Bronny James ends up going to Duquesne, who knows what they can bring into that program. They're going to have a boatload of NIL because he's there. Drew Joyce already has a LeBron connection. I think Duquesne, for a long time, has been a sleeping giant. We saw it in the 50s and 60s, the great program. But if Bronny James goes there, the sky's the limit. Outside of that, you know, at this point, I really haven't looked too deep into it. Those two just popped in my mind, you know, Duquesne, because it's my team, and Bronny James is the hot name right now in the college basketball world, and Duquesne's the hot place for him to land, and Boise State, because they return all that talent. So if they're able to win a game in the NCAA tournament next year, sky's the limit for that program because they return those top three players. You never know.
Absolutely, and things are going to be coming much more into picture in the coming weeks and the coming months. A lot of these guys, they entered in the transfer portal more towards Final Four week. There are a lot of meetings that were had. There have been a lot of coaching hires that have been made over the last few days. And when a coaching change happens, typically the team that loses a coach is they also lose a lot of players to the transfer portal as well. And with the sort of second go around with the coaching carousel, because it felt like a lot of these coaching moves had already been done, and then Arkansas rudely entered into the chat with hiring on John Calipari. There's going to be tons and tons of movement here in the next few weeks. And Nick, I know that you're going to be doing a great job covering it all over there at Mid-Major Madness. You're coming at me as you're just leaving Arizona after covering the national title game in the Final Four. You did great work all season long, but I know your work is not done. They always say that we sleep in May. I know you're not going to be sleeping in May. I know you're going to be taking a look at the CAA. You're going to be taking a look at the A-10 and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, like Greg said, I'll just be touching on random stuff over the next couple months. Lots of transfer portal every day. You never know what could happen. But you can follow me over at NLawrenceSports on Twitter and at Mid_Madness. But I'm excited. Transfer portal. I love the regular season. I love all that. But the transfer portal is just another awesome thing. People always have a bad stigma against it with mid-majors. But a lot of the success we've seen is because with these mid-major programs is because of the transfer portal. So I'm excited for these next couple weeks.
Oh, there's no reason not to be. And I do like the offseason as well, just because I can give a lot of takes. And for many, many months, I will not be proven wrong. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily the correct take. But you know what? We won't be proven wrong for quite some time as well. And it's always fun to be able to do those conference previews, what have you. And it's always great to be able to get Nick aboard, someone who truly loves this great game of college basketball. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Cusco's Hoops Hour, part of the Visa Family Podcast. Coming up next, typically would be bank shots, but unfortunately we do not have any games on the board for the next 7 months, but we've got a lot of transfers coming onto the board, entering into the portal. We will recap all that we saw in college basketball in terms of coaching and player movement from Tuesday next.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here, Love You Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Nick Lawrenson. He does tremendous work over at Mid-Major Madness. He is going to be joining me all throughout the offseason, lending his insights, and every single time he joins the show, I feel like we all get a little bit smarter about this great game of college basketball. So, big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Tuesday. I know that John Rothstein was tweeting out quite a few of these guys that are going to be able to utilize their COVID year of eligibility and are going to be returning to school. I told you guys in the last segment about the guys coming back to Northwestern, Ty Berry, along with Matthew Nicholson, so we will not rehash those, but you've got a team in Houston that's got quite a few guys that are going to be returning. Jamal Shedd, it's a little bit TBD on him, so that would be absolutely massive if he does, but Malik Wilson decided that he is going to. Wasn't necessarily a super impactful guy, only averaged about 4.5 points per contest, but that's someone that we do want to be watching out for as well, so we'll be taking a look there. LJ Cryer, apparently he is going to be returning to Houston as well, one of the better sharpshooters that you're going to find in all of college basketball. He was able to do a nice job for Houston, being their top scorer from a season ago. So that is a team that is certainly going to be in the news the next few weeks. And if they can get Jamal Shedd back, that would be absolutely tremendous. You did see St. Mary's get a relatively nice, shall we say, return as well. Luke Barrett, average about 5.5 points per contest a season ago, is relatively solid on the glass for a St. Mary's team that was one of the best offensive teams in all of college basketball. They are going to be getting him back in the fold, so that's nice. Zeb Jackson, Joe Bejmili, these two guys were impactful in the backcourt for VCU. They combined for 24.5 points per game. They are both going to be returning as well now. Oso Ogudoro, he is going to be entering into the NBA draft. I'm not sure if he's going to be maintaining his eligibility or not, but that was the top rebounder for Marquette. And Marquette's undoing last year was the fact that they didn't have a lot down low. Ogudoro was the only guy that gave you north of 5.5 rebounds per game. So we shall see what he is going to be doing, because if he decides to come back to Marquette, that would be big. Like I said, I don't know if he maintained his eligibility or not. Sometimes they say, well, we'll be maintaining my eligibility. Sometimes they really don't. Oftentimes when they don't, they're probably gone for good. And Ogudoro has been at Marquette for the last few seasons, was a nice double-figure scorer, was really the lone guy on the roster that did not pop threes, but someone that we're going to be looking out for as well. And then we did see quite a few guys that decide they are going to be entering into the transfer portal. You've got Colin Holloway, who is entering after he was playing at Tulane a season ago, and he's a relatively solid shooter when everything is going right for Mr. Holloway. Season ago, 12.5 points, 4.5 boards per contest for a Tulane team that really had no depth whatsoever. For Holloway, he shot only about 34% from 3-point range last season. Previous 2 years was shooting more around 36% from the outside. Began his career over at Georgetown, so we shall see what he is going to be doing there. Jasper Floyd, he was over at Fairfield a season ago, and Jasper Floyd was very good at Fairfield. Wasn't necessarily a guy that put up some mono numbers or anything like that, but these are the guys in the transfer portal that I think should be treated like gold. For Floyd, as a freshman last season, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, 9.5 points per contest. Such an impactful guy for Fairfield. Well, it was his first year at Fairfield. He was not a freshman. He actually began at the junior college level. He is now in the transfer portal. And along the way as well, by the way, I am going to be taking a look at a lot of these junior college guys as well. There's a lot that is yet to be settled on the junior college front. And I'll probably at some point this offseason reach out to Brandon Goble. He does really good work when it comes to taking a look at the junior college level. He is a tireless worker on that front. A very good follow if you're looking at some of these junior college guys. As, I mean, some of these guys have had massive impacts, like Nequan Tomlin. A lot of people may forget he was a junior college guy a season ago. As a matter of fact, you take a look at the top junior college transfers from the class of 2023, and yeah, some of these guys flamed out, like Trey Ford, who went over to Mississippi State. He just sell with injury in general. Kurt Lewis over at Missouri, he did not really pop, but Alejandro Vasquez was a double-figure scorer at UAB. He was the number 4 ranked junior college transfer for the class of 2023, this according to JUCORecruiting.com. Yaxel Lemborg for UAB was a very impactful player. Keshawn Pryor was the top rebounder for South Florida. He was ranked number 10 on this list. You had Melvin Council, who led Wagner to the NCAA tournament, be number 14. Marcus Hill turned out to be the top scorer for Bowling Green at number 17. Greg Gecko Gordon, he was number 16. He was over there at Iona. Jason Edwards turned into the top scorer for North Texas. He was number 15. So there's a lot of talent that comes out of the junior college level. So even though these guys weren't necessarily playing at the Division I level, do not let that fool you. There is a lot of talent, and there's a lot of guys that have impact that are going to be coming out there. So I will be giving you guys the men of impact that are entering from the junior college front as well. And then this is one that at the D1 level is going to be quite an impact as well. D'Antoni Gordon, he was last season over at Little Rock. Rock solid player, 11.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per contest. Has never really been like that takeover guy or anything like that, though at Little Rock 2 seasons ago did have about 13.5 points per contest. His career about 29% 3-point shooter at 6'7". He is out there in the transfer portal, an all OVC player from the 2022-23 campaign. So have to figure that there's going to be a lot of guys and a lot of teams are in on them, and we just haven't seen a lot of guys decide where they're going to be transferring to quite yet. That should be coming in the coming days and the coming weeks, but right now we've got a lot unsettled in terms of the transfer portal. As a matter of fact, you take a look at the transfer portal right now, 1,543 players are in the transfer portal. Fewer than 225 guys have made up their mind. And of the 225 guys, you've got quite a few of them that actually just decided to go back to where they came. So that's something to take a look at. I'm not going to unleash like every single one of these transfers as well, like Anthony Del Rosso. That's something that does need to be mentioned. Anthony Del Rosso was the top scorer over at Campbell. If he's able to stay at Campbell, if he decides to come back to where he came, that would be very big for them. And if he does decide to go elsewhere, there's going to be a team that gets a really nice score. 19.5 points, 6.5 boards, 2 assists per contest, an all-coastal conference performer. That's something that is going to be noted on this podcast, and that's a guy that I'm very much tracking. Coy Thurman, hopefully I said that correctly. He was over at Fort Wayne, the old Macedons. He decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. This is someone that averaged 2.5 points per game in 11 games. Right now is not the time that I'm going to be mentioning him. If we have a really slow day, that's when we start to mention some of those lesser guys. But as of right now, we're going to be looking at more of the big guys, because when you've got north of 1,500 guys in the transfer portal, you do have to pick and choose your battles. Like, heck, even this one is a little bit on the borderline, but I do think that's worth mentioning. Dominguez Stevens, he began his career over at Seton Hall last season. He was over at Florida A&M, just was unable to get out there on the floor. Was completely robbed by injury 2 seasons ago. Was averaging about 8.5 points per contest, shot 42.5% from 3-point range. He's in the transfer portal, has some high-level talent, but just has been robbed by injury, so we shall see what happens there. Jabari Abdul-Rahim, he was a double-figure scorer over at Georgia, and we've seen quite a few guys from Georgia decide that they're going to be entering the transfer portal. He's in there. He was averaging right around about 12.5 to 13 points per contest over at Georgia, and a season ago, it was he and Noah Thomason that were really running that backcourt. And you've also got Matthew Alexander Moncrief from Georgia entering into the transfer portal as well, so it looks like we're going to be seeing a lot of movement out there in the SEC with Matthew Alexander Moncrief. He was one of the better rebounders for the team when he was able to get out there on the court, but he was another one of those guys that he just wasn't able to see a lot of minutes, only played 16 games. It was a combination of injury and just falling out of favor in general with the coaching staff when he was over at Oklahoma State. That's when he was able to make his impact. He's been in college so long. He was playing alongside Cade Cunningham during the 2020-21 campaign, and in that year, he had 9 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. Since then, has never averaged more than 5.5 points or 5.1 rebounds per game. So he's one of those guys that has really regressed, and sometimes these guys, they do get a second lease on life. Some of these guys, when they find the right fit, boom, they're able to develop, and then there are other guys that they just never come to the forefront. Bradley Irizarryro, hopefully I said that correctly. He was over at St. Louis last season. Josh Schertz has now taken that coaching job over there. So it's going to be probably a lot of movement. He decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. And when he was eligible, because he missed the first few games because he was a 2-time transfer, began his career over at LSU and Georgetown. But in 22 games, 12 points, 6 boards, was a relatively solid player. He's out there in the transfer portal. So that's a guy that I'm going to be certainly watching out for, along with Aiden Holloway. Aiden Holloway had a really nice start to the season over at Auburn. He sort of fizzled out towards the back half of the season. Chad Baker Mazzara, he was able to take over that offense a little bit more, and it just felt like Holloway, he was ahead of everyone's expectations to begin the season, and then I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like a freshman wall or anything like that, but he couldn't really bust through. But this was a top 25 guy according to a lot of the recruiting rankings. You know, look at what he was able to do in his first few games of the season. It was looking like he was poised for a very big campaign, and it was looking like he was probably going to be one of those guys that was going to be drafted perhaps in the first round. First 8 games that he started, 10 games in total, he was averaging about 12 points, 3.5 assists, shot 40% from 3-point range. And then ever since that USC game where he put up 15 points, it just was a shock in general as to the way that his production diminished. In the final 25 games of the season, he has scored 10 points or fewer in all but 2 of them. He averaged 5.5 points per contest, shot 24.5% from 3-point range after a great start. He just wasn't able to give you anything whatsoever. These are some of the guys I think are some of the most intriguing out there in the transfer portal, because if Holloway is able to find the right fit in, if he decides not to go to the NBA, which I think that his stock plummeted like Enron towards the second half of the season, these are the guys that can really be able to make an impact. Like when Arizona bought low on Caleb Love, that was absolutely massive for that offense. This is a guy that I think is going to be of impact as well. Toby Awaka, he was over at Tennessee last season, was a little bit of a forgotten man. Well, everyone not named Dalton Knecht was forgotten about with Tennessee, but I mean, a rock solid defender. 5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. If you're looking to try to form your offense around Toby Awaka, you're probably going to be a little bit disappointed, but he's a guy that's able to pull in rebounds. If you're able to get him on a power conference team, he's able to be a relatively solid glue guy. He's not one of those guys I think could go down to the mid-major level and be like one of those guys that puts up like flamethrower numbers or anything like that. But I do think that he's one of those guys that if you put him on a nice team that was like in the top 50 already, he could be a nice complement to them. We saw quite a few of the guys from Indiana State decide to enter into the transfer portal as well. And this just happens when you see coaching moves, because Josh Schertz was the coach at Indiana State, decided to move on to St. Louis. And I have to wonder how many of these guys are going to be following him. Isaiah Swope is in the transfer portal. He was able to average 16 points per contest, one of the better knockdown shooters on the team, as he was able to shoot about 36.5% from 3-point range. Ryan Conwell, he was tremendous, shot 40% from 3, 16.5 points, 6 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. And then Robbie Avila, which everyone is buzzing about this one. I don't know if there's a single school that's not like, please, Mr. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, please come to us. 17.5 points, 6.5 boards, 4 assists, shot 39.5% from 3-point range. He's out there in the transfer portal as well, and we're just going to be noticing that more and more. Any coaching change that gets made, you're going to have a lot of guys jumping ship going into the transfer portal. And this one surprised me a little bit as well. Mark Mitchell, he's got his name currently in the transfer portal. Mark Mitchell was a rock solid player over at Duke a season ago. Not a guy that, once again, you're going to be like building your offense around, but Mark Mitchell was a very highly touted guy coming out of high school, a former top 30 recruit according to all the major sites. And he had a nice year, 12.5 points, 6 boards, a little bit less than a block per contest. He's able to pop threes, but only shot at about a 27.5% clip a season ago. But going to be interesting to see what happens there, because Duke has been one of those teams that they really haven't dove into the transfer portal too much. They brought in a guy in like Ryan Young this last season who was able to make a little bit of impact, but that was a Coach K thing. We shall see if John Shire is going to be taking on the same approach, or if he decides, hey, you know what, it's a little bit of a new dawn, it's a little bit of a new day, I need to adapt, I need to bring in a few guys by the transfer portal. So that is certainly something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on as well. And then we also did see Issa Mohammed decide that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. This is another one that I think is very much of impact. He was over at UT Martin a season ago, and he was relatively solid while he was over at UT Martin. Was able to pull in there north of 8 rebounds per game. He's going to be another one of those guys that's transferring once again, which I don't think that there should be any transfer restrictions, because we recall towards the beginning part of the 2023-24 season, these guys that had transferred multiple times, they were all barred from playing for the beginning part of the season until there was a court order. I do think that that court order is going to be lingering and is going to be here to stay moving forward. Now, I do not say this with any sort of confidence whatsoever. It is something that I'm going to be checking in on throughout the offseason, but I'm operating right now as if all these guys like an Issa Mohammed, who began his 2020 22-23 season at New Mexico State was at UT Martin. So next school that he goes to, if he does decide to leave UT Martin, would be school number three. I'm assuming he's going to be eligible. But again, when you assume, you make a you-know-what out of both me and you. It's something I'm going to check in on. But as of right now, I'm operating this way. Like I said, we've got 7 months remaining, so not much loss. If there is indeed a guy that transfers and he has to sit out or something like that, that's what the offseason is for. You gather information. If you don't know, you ask and you check in to see, all right, is this actually going to be the case? You cross your T's, your dot, your I's. But with Mob, about 11 points, 9.5 boards, 2 assists per contest. Was able to pop threes as a bit of a big man at 6'9". Really didn't pop them very well, but is capable of being able to give you a little bit of an outside force as well. So those are a lot of the moves that we saw in college basketball on Tuesday. Like I said, a lot of Indiana State guys entering into the transfer portal and quite a few guys using up their COVID years as well. I'll be letting you guys know on those guys as well, because I do think that it's important while we take a look at the transfer portal, we look at the guys that are actually going to be returning to school as well. And I will try to do that for you. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Go Skip Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XIMeline at @G_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to Nick Lawrenson of Mid Major Madness for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season and just the year in general. All 366 days this year. I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.